You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Salem After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Salem After Show.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to another AfterBuzz TV After Show for your favorite show, Salem. I am your host for today, Anna Koppel. We are one down, one Bobby De Niro, but he'll be back next week, and he's greatly missed today. But I am joined by
Jesse Owen,
and hey, as guys. Always,
what's up, everyone? I'm Marissa Serafini.
Yay! So we're just it's all girls today. It's, you know, three. Ladies.
We're awesome.
just three, but you know, we always like everybody's opinions, and it's definitely, I think this is a show that calls for a male perspective. So if anybody would like to tweet at us or iTunes, YouTube, you know, we're here, and we love to hear from you. So let's just get right into this. So whole new side of Cotton. I feel like we just get to learn more about Cotton all the time, which I love.
Yeah, he definitely showed a different side of him. He was kind of, I don't want to say mean, because that's such a not right word for it, but, like, he was just, like, a rapist, pretty much.
That's definitely rape, number one. He showed a strong pimp hand, I felt, this evening. I don't know what's going on. So, it's clear that everybody knows that he has daddy issues, because the first thing every woman does to him... Or time out. Do all men have daddy issues? I'm like having a revelation right now.
I wouldn't say all men would have daddy issues, but he definitely has some serious daddy issues, because every episode he's saying, my father, he's always being compared. Or the people that he's interacting with, like, your father would have been happy or done this for you and whatnot. So we definitely have daddy issues. But the thing tonight with tonight's episode, or last night's episode, we're covering it today. But today's episode that... We see some vulnerability in him, and then to have that turn at the end, not to jump right ahead, but we see a more subdued kind of guy who's kind of giving in, but he's questioning things now. He's not as extreme as he used to be, and he's questioning and going things rationally, and then to have a switch at the end.
Yes, well, and... Mary is so good at manipulating, and she had a line. They go to find answers, and Tituba asks how she's going to find answers, and she said, the quickest way one finds answers, blame. And it goes right to Cotton and starts talking about his father, and reminds him, you know, you weren't my first choice. You're not who I sent for. You are who I settled for. And she just knows how to play this guy, just play into every insecurity he has, knows to compare him to his father again. And it really works. It really does. So it sends him right over, and we'll get into his visit to Mercy in a little bit. But
was the encounter with Georgiana before or after Mary questioned him and said that you were second choice?
With Gloriana. That happened at his encounter with Gloriana at the public house, or at
when
the church.
When he raped her in the church.
When he raped her at the church happened. He raped her at the church after he spoke to Mary.
Yeah. Okay, so that probably played a big part in why he treated her like that.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely what happened.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there was a big buildup every single time we see his character tonight, that, like, something's slowly eating away at him, and then he just, you know, bursts at the end. And then, you know, goes through that terrible, terrible action.
I almost wonder if, like, that wouldn't have happened. Like, would he have accepted Georgiana? Like, because she was pretty much saying, hey, take me for who I am. This is, my father's house, the Lord that we pray to, you know, what makes it different? I just want to see him get married.
Yeah, but I'm questioning why was Gloriana in this acting like this? She was very manipulative and getting into his head compared to what we just saw last episode where she was kind of convincing him to maybe leave or, you know, be rational in his choices. And then she also kind of gets into manipulative mode as well.
Right.
I think that she did not start out manipulative. I think that she went over there because that was a bold thing happened at that public house. You know, he went to, he almost got in a bar fight over a whore.
She liked it.
Yeah, and she did. And she also knows that that's risky for him. And so I think she went to genuinely thank him and say, like, you know, I know what you did is a big deal and it really means a lot to me. Yes.
And I know you care about me and you really like me and you have feelings for me, but I think he was like, no, I have to prove to you I don't.
Right. And that's what he said. And he was like, well, I care for you as much as I care for a sick child or a wounded puppy or something. Yeah. Like, you know, it's offensive. So to go from something that I'm sure meant the world to her, meant everything to her, and to, you know, say, oh, actually meant nothing is awful. So,
yeah, he told her that she was charity and pity and charity. That's what he said.
Right. Oh, so and that's why I think she went into manipulative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was making also digs at her, too. So that might have added to it. But to call her charity, especially after all these episodes where he was actually kind of showing general respect towards her, and then to turn in and say, no, you're just charity, you're just pretty much trash, mm-hmm. then, yeah, which is another thing why he probably turned on her.
Yeah. But, so, not only was it, and then he rapes her.
Right there on the stairs.
In the house of the Lord.
And then leaves.
No.
Not just leaves.
But throws money on top of her.
Like a prostitute. Pay for your acts.
But who knew that he even had, like, that much street cred, I feel. He's like, yeah, just throw in change. It was just crazy to me. Like,
yeah, I wonder what their relationship's going to be like now.
Oh, you think there's still a relationship?
Well, I don't know, because if she is a whore, I mean, whores aren't going to let their feelings get involved, and they'll do anything for money, so.
But the thing is, she did let her feelings get involved. You can see that Gloriana kind of actually did genuinely care for her. For him, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She definitely, yeah, I think whores only don't get involved with their clients, from what I know, from what I hear. From what I know firsthand. But they have a relationship. It's like, he's not a customer. That's her boy, right? Isn't that her boo? Didn't we establish this?
Yeah, I mean, they had a DTR session last episode, didn't they? Mm. In a way.
A DTR?
I think she tried to kind of have that talk, but did it the wrong way. Yeah. Do not go about that way, ladies.
Yeah. No. Yeah, there's no right way to go about that conversation, I feel.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So
moving on.
So the other half of Cotton we'll get to later. In the meantime, we have witches in Salem, folks. So Magistrate Hale, it's put onto Magistrate Hale that he needs to earn the trust of John Alden. And he hasn't been trying to do that since John Alden's come back into town, and now he needs to figure out how to do that quickly. Because on top of him just feeling, I think, threatened by John Alden in general, to his plan as a warlock, I think he does have that sort of overprotective father vibe, because, you know, his daughter's super hot for him.
And his daughter was just affected by the witches last episode.
Right.
So he's in that protective father mode.
Exactly. So now he has to go buddy up to him.
Which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, clearly John Alden does not trust him. He thinks he's out to expose him, basically.
But also, I feel like... Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's kind of like keep your enemies close. in a way. Maybe not enemies, but just the people that you want to try to make allies, or just keep a close eye out on John Alden.
I also just think that Magistrate Hale is terrible at this, because I feel like if you're going to start to try to gain somebody's trust, you don't start by throwing them a party. Like, I don't know. Start with coffee. Or, I don't know, some sort of...
Or go about a more subtle way.
Yeah. I'm throwing you a giant party. I mean, that's a little bit suspect. We haven't been friends at all.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, Magister Hale is a person in authority and public. He's a public figure. So when a lot of people see him, people are going to believe it. He has to keep up appearances, mostly for himself.
Right. I thought it was interesting how he brought the doll out to John. Like, he automatically, like, was basically saying, hey, I was spying on you guys in the woods. This is the doll we're talking about. You know, it's like, so that's even more reason for him not to trust him. Oh, you were spying on me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then the necklace with Anne. Yes. Which I looked up, and it is a metal. Basically, it says it's a magical metal, and it's used to make weapons. So, and you said, I was taking notes at the time, but she saw her finger.
Yeah, Mary's fingers were like, mm-hmm. Her flesh was burning. And then she went over to, what do you want to say?
Oh, I thought that was cool because it showed that this little instrument is going to help prevent Mary's magic from affecting Anne again. Because Magistrate's learning, especially mm-hmm. after knowing how powerful Mary is and knowing that Mary can affect Anne. Hey, let's put this necklace that can protect her against Mary. And then it just shows, like, just this little thing, how it affects her. If there is something bigger, something could stop her.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really interesting because we learned, I'm going to be jumping around here a little bit, and I apologize, but we did learn a little bit about what goes into some of these potions, because in that necklace there was valerian, which I will sometimes take to help me sleep. And then in... So Mercy's father, I guess, is also a reverend, Reverend Lewis, and he, as part of her exorcism, gave her agrimony in a cup. So I, you know, the first episode we were asking, you know, what's Tito putting all over Mary's lips? So what is this? You know, so I think it's kind of cool that we're learning some of these.
It's like herbs.
Herbs.
Well, yeah, but.
Homeopathic remedy herbs.
Right. Well, I just hope by the end of the season we'll be able to hex somebody or something. I don't know.
And a few toes and. All that good stuff.
Yeah. If someone goes missing, it is not our fault.
It's really, yeah. We're not angry. No, I'm keeping. I'm going to keep a recipe book just in case. Who knows what'll come up. But yeah, okay. So now John is kind of, he's more in the group, but still not. But more accepted. What do you think?
Obviously, we see it's just a ploy to get. Hale just to have a watchful eye over him. Keep him close.
But is he still...
I don't believe it.
But do you still... But not necessarily with the witches, but like with the townspeople of Salem, do you think he's going to have more information?
Maybe. It would help him get more information from other people if he is initiated in that way. So he could use it to his advantage.
I think people already kind of look up to him because, I mean, nobody really... talks bad about him, and obviously he has a really good reputation because William Hook, who we'll talk about later, he was trying to exploit him, you know?
Well, let's talk about him now. So he was trying to exploit him in what sense?
Basically, he was talking about how he wasn't the war hero. Everybody thought he was because he killed all those innocent men. But, I mean, I guess back then it would have been a little different, but now, I mean, yes, people die, innocent people die every day in war. I mean, that's what war is. You know, nobody likes war, but I don't understand how that could really sabotage, you know, him in the community, because obviously we know he killed people. It was a war.
Right. Well, and I'm not quite sure either, but, you know, spoiler alert, guys, kind of, not really, the gentleman who plays Lieutenant William Hook, Xander Berkeley, he's on the title all of the time, you know, and it says on IMDb he's in 9 episodes, so we have not seen the last of him, and we'll learn more about this, because it can't just be like, oh, you killed people in war, prove that they're innocent, you know, or guilty. That's there's got to be more to the story. And now he's, I don't know, in this pit with the untouchable deads, and I don't know. I'm excited for the storyline, actually. What are you wanting to say, Marissa?
I like him. I think he's interesting. Another interesting foil for John Alden, because we see him always going against Cotton, but now we're seeing Cotton becoming a more subdued character, and now we bring this interesting, intriguing guy in and have John go against him. And I think the storyline, even this character, will add more layers to John, and maybe in the end, maybe this William guy can help take down all these witches, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
but
we'll
he's,
see.
He's dead, isn't he?
I don't think he's dead.
Yeah, no, I really don't think... I don't think they would put him on the title for every episode if he's only... They would say, like, special guest, whatever, guest starring.
After hearing you just saying that he's attached for, like, 9 technical episodes, and they just kill him in the first episode we see him, I don't think that was a quick
Something
choke.
Just came to me. Okay, you know, spoiler alert, for the previews for the next episode, did you see the face that Mary was saying, tell me who John Alden is. What if it's him? At first I thought it was the blacksmith, but now thinking about it, you know, obviously if someone's face is off, it's not going to look the same. So,
Yeah, that's a good catch. Yeah. It might be him, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, tell me who he really is. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, and so now apparently he was... Lieutenant Hook was hired by Rose, also an old world witch. And I'm not really sure what their connection is, other than he was just hired as a courier. And he was able to get whatever... The ship was quarantined for whatever reason, and he was able to...
There was like an infection going around, sickness or something.
Mm-hmm. But he was able to... break into Mary's house, talk to Mr. Sibley, who, by the way, genius, Mr. Sibley, genius. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you would think he'd write a little more. Like, I mean, it just says witch.
Yeah, it was smart. My thing is, why, after, you know, the stabbing, we see why he does that. That was brilliant. But why have William... out of all the people, be the only one to interact with Mr. Sibley in that way, and maybe have that hope that William is going to tell someone that's actually important that can stop Mary.
Instead, he tells Mary.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thinking on that, because I thought I did think about that. Now, imagine you're being held captive by a witch, and you're being tortured every day, and... your only way to get a message out is to dig into your leg with a metal rod, and you finally are able to complete one word. And I'm thinking that the next person to walk into your room,
right,
who isn't the person who's holding you captive, you're going to hand that note to. I'm just thinking, like, that's what I would do, probably, if I'm in, like, a tortured situation.
I would have just pricked my finger and just wrote it, you know. I don't know if
I
would have just,
like... Yeah, there are easier ways to...
Like, I thought there was a reason. I thought maybe he was trying to get the frog out.
Less masochistic ways of getting out that message.
I would just... At his point, he should just, like... Right there.
But he's hoping to regain his capacities, I think. His facilities.
Well, we did learn in this episode that Mary's, like, not as strong as, you know, she does have her weaknesses with the metal, and then Mercy, obviously, which we'll get into that. I keep jumping ahead, but...
the best part.
Yeah, obviously, you know, she does have her weaknesses. So maybe he has seen her weaknesses, and he kind of knows Mr. Sibley.
Mm. So knows how to... Yeah.
Knows how to take her down.
Yeah. Mm.
That'd be cool because, I mean, we see that letter with just the one word, and you kind of wish that he had more. But, that would be interesting. I think Mr. Sibley is going to help be a part of the takedown of Mary at the end.
Yeah.
Or will there be a takedown?
Or there has to be, eventually.
Unless she just takes over Salem, you know. Maybe her plan will work. I don't know. I try to think about when we, the very first episode, how we saw how awful of a person George Sibley is. And I have to ask myself, who's the worst person? Like, are you Team Mary or Team George?
Vote now.
I think I'm Team Mary.
Okay. I don't know who I am right now. All right. So let's unless you have anything else to say about the, let's go into Mercy here, because
Mercy, that poor girl.
I mean,
oh my goodness, she cannot get a break.
No, she can't.
It's so crazy. Her own father like cut her stomach open, but it's just crazy how that everything's controlled by her, by the little snake. It's kind of like George, everything he does is controlled by the frog.
Well, if you think about it, snakes and frogs, they have a negative connotation. Mary's using it as an evil conduit to do her bidding, especially within Mary and the other girl. No, Tituba? It was Mercy. Tituba. But, and Mr. Sibley, you know, she's using these animals against these people's wishes. So it makes sense to have the snake finally getting out of Mercy and her becoming normal.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Okay. I thought you were going on, sorry.
Oh, no. And because when she doesn't have that control anymore because they're out.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So there must be some sort of weird reptile inside of Mary also.
Well, when she looked in the mirror, she's just an ugly, like, soul. I don't know. But she would have an animal.
Because, well, there's inside of Sibley, and it happened to her against her will, right?
But Mary's the one.
She complied to it.
Mary's the one that's controlling everyone else. No one's controlling her with anything.
What about Tituba? What about in any of them? Do any? I feel like there have to be reptiles in other people, is what I'm trying to say here.
I think Mary could take Tituba down if she wanted to. I think she has that power, because Tituba is just a slave.
I wouldn't say slave, but definitely a partner in crime.
But do you know something interesting? Fun fact. Not really news, it's just history. But the original Tituba. She, you know, she was accused of all the witchcraft, and she, went along with it. She was like, yeah, I did that. So then they wouldn't, like, kill her. They never ended up executing her because she kept on and saying, oh, yeah, I did it. I can do that. So they'd keep her on so they could get information out of her.
Hmm. That's a smart way to keep alive.
Yeah.
For longer. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to have to read more about that.
Okay. Back to the exorcism of Mercy Lewis.
Oh, that snake. Creepy.
Super creepy. And somehow her dad figured it out. And actually her father, yes. And not just like Father Lewis.
Yeah, because I was getting confused because we know he's a reverend as well. And sometimes, you know, reverend, religion, you always call them like fathers or something, and religion sometimes too. And then, but we had the line later that her father. So, yeah, I guess they are related.
Yeah. Oh, and that makes sense because Mary called him an idolater. So,
yeah.
So, Catholicism, super hated, I guess. And that's something that, go ahead.
I was surprised with that because this seems like very religious or anti-religious, but then Catholics, which I kind of consider maybe not, I shouldn't say top, but definitely one of the most religious religions out there, and that to be so against Catholics in the show.
Well, but so don't forget that, like, England had already created its own church from the persecution of the Catholic Church, and then the Puritans came here.
Puritanicals.
For Puritans. Religious persecution. So yeah. It would make sense that they would super hate Catholics. But go ahead.
Don't they kind of like not really believe the same things, but a lot of things are similar? Like,
oh, totally. And that's kind of what I was talking about last week. I'm really excited for this, like, oral world and new world, which is, it seems like, listen, you guys have the same beliefs, but are you, you're like arguing about it. I mean, yeah, this is not, I don't feel comfortable going into like a religious debate right now, but yeah, there are similar, there are a lot of similar.
So Catholic's not good, or the Catholicism is.
We at AfterBuzz TV think that Catholics are terrible.
No, we don't condone this. But in this show, apparently Catholicism is not smiled upon.
Yeah.
And also in real life, Salem. In 1692,
yeah,
they also didn't then. Like Catholics then.
That's so weird.
So, yeah. Also, I just, it's really hurting me to not make inappropriate jokes. Let's please move on.
So, yes, let's not.
So she's fine for a couple days.
Mary's upset that she finds out that she doesn't have control over Mercy anymore. Because she tried that one time when Mercy was in the public town square there.
When she was going to accuse Sibley's friend, mm-hmm. the blacksmith.
And then she doesn't have full power over her anymore.
And that's mm-hmm. when they all meet in the woods and decide to make their plan. This is who does what, and that's when Magistrate Hale decides to throw John Alden a birthday bash, or welcome to the...
Yeah, and it also shows that Mary's realizing that people are starting to figure things out. They're, like, everything with all the witchcraft and stuff. Because we see Anne get the necklace, which goes against Mary. And now we see Mercy not have the snake anymore, which Mary can't control. So she's slowly losing her power.
But are you talking about the end when Mercy's holding the snake and she's like, I know what you are? Are you talking about that part? Is that, like, was that really Mercy, or was that just, like, a flashback? Or, like, not a flashback, but a...
hallucination?
Like, yeah.
Well, I think that, well, that was definitely Mary's doing, but up until that point, we see Mary, she's questioning herself because she doesn't have the full control that she's used to, and people are going against her in that way. And then that's what also helps Mary do this, whatever, communication through that creepy old... hag-looking woman again, to get the snake back into Mercy to have that full control over her again.
But I almost wonder what would have happened if Mercy would have stopped the snake, you know? Like, it's like, because she was like, open up your mouth, and Mercy did. And it's like, you know, was she controlling her at that time? Or, you know, what would have happened if she would have been like, no?
Yeah, like, and I would have loved to see that, too, because we do see Mercy, she's trying so hard to fight against Mary all these times, and you think at the end of this that she might have this strong willpower to do it, but she still doesn't. She's a weak kind of person.
Well, I don't think she's weak. I think it was the first episode. I predicted that Mercy was going to be one of Mary's serious adversaries, and she may yet be. She may have just accepted that snake into her body because she knew that she was strong enough to come at Mary, and if maybe that's the only way they can be connected and, like, on the same level. I don't know. I mean, this is all just... I don't know. But she could come at her that way, and...
It's an interesting way. But I can see where you're coming from for that, but the way that they showed it in this episode, it showed that Mercy really didn't have that strong willpower to go against Mary yet.
Yeah, and... And she might not. Who knows? But we'll see.
Maybe one day she will.
Maybe. I think she's going to be an adversary for Mary. I really do. I'm holding on to that.
Maybe Hale will turn on Mary and use Mercy against Mary. This could go all night.
That'd be cool. I'd like that. That'd be a nice twist, too.
For sure. Yeah,
definitely.
All right. Are we missing anything?
Lots happened.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to talk about what, I wonder what that box is that was in parcel 769.
Right.
You know, he obviously saw something on it because the look on his face. Because if you see a box, you're not going to be like, oh my God, unless you see something.
And it kind of had a symbol on it too.
Yeah, I wonder if he knew. Did it show John Alden after he found the box? Yeah, because he saw Mary. He had the box.
Yeah.
And then she made that little remark. He said, sweet dreams, Mary. And she said, perhaps they've just begun. Because she saw him, the man of her dreams. Yeah.
Interesting. I when I saw that box, my mind just went to Pandora's box, and then I was like, now we're getting mystical in here, and that doesn't make sense with this type of show. But I don't know what's in the box.
If it's Mary's soul.
What's in the box?
Rose wanted it secretly. Didn't want anyone to know.
So it's something definitely powerful enough that the witches want it.
My mind went to Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. You know, if you've seen that movie.
Yes, but I have.
Yeah, there's a magic box in there, too. Yeah, it looks like they kind of know what it's for, though. Or they know, I guess not. But in previews for next week, they're saying, we know that the witches want it, so let's use it.
What it, because Rose is a witch. I wonder if Rose can do, like, spells and stuff to people, even though, like, people don't really know she exists. She's kind of like the wood witch. So it's like, I wonder if she could do something to John Alden or know that he's the one who has the box, you know?
So here's a question I've had since we started the show. I don't know if I've put this on air or not. I know I've tweeted about it, but if anybody knows the difference between a witch, a warlock, a wizard, a sorcerer, and there's one more that I can't think of right now. But there's a lot of things that I think they're synonyms, but one I think maybe can only do spells, and I don't know. But if anybody knows the differences between these things, if you could please tweet at me.
Maybe if you are one, you could come be a special guest.
You are one. iTunes, anything. I would love the answers, because I feel like maybe that would we would be able to tell some of those things a little bit more easily. Like, oh yeah, that's one of Rose's potions, because she's only does sorcery. I don't know. I don't know. I'm making that up, because I don't know.
We're about to see some crazy stuff based on the previews for next week. Some crazy stuff's about to happen.
I think that's all I have, ladies.
Let us know. Definitely on iTunes.
Definitely yes. On iTunes. Always rate, comment. We love 5 stars.
We do. We don't have Bobby tonight, but I'm sure he would love to talk about Tittawa.
We miss you, Bobby.
We miss you, Bobby. Come home soon.
Yeah, because Tittawa played a bigger role in tonight's episode a little bit, too. And she seems like she's going to play a bigger role in next week's episode. But you were going to say something?
No, I go ahead.
But I think it kind of shows that Tittawa, she's partnering up with Mary. We know this. But she's starting to question Mary a little bit here and there. Yeah. What do you think?
I think maybe she's starting to doubt giving Mary so much power. Because it was Tittawa. I'm never going to say her name right.
Say it fast. Tittawa.
Tittawa. There we go. I feel like she's questioning whether or not it was a good idea to give her so much power. Mm-hmm.
They're slowly losing her power with the people around her. They're slowly kind of going away from her, turning against her a little bit.
Is there a possibility that they'll let her go from the clutches?
That Mary will let her go?
Let Mary go.
Ooh.
Or that's between her and Satan. I don't know.
I think
her soul's gone.
Yeah, I think that's a bigger issue that we'll cross when we get to that bridge.
Okay. All right.
I did want to point out one more thing if you guys don't have anything else. We were talking about this while we were watching it. Did you notice when John Alden was visiting his parents' grave, who we still don't know how they passed away, how it had so much information about his father and then such little information about his mother? Like, on his father's, it had he was a sheriff, he was born in the county of Essex, England, he died in the town of Salem, he departed March 8th. It had all of that, but on his mother's, it just said, lieth buried here, departed this life, married to eternity. Like, it didn't really say anything about her, who she was. And I wonder, like I was telling her, I wonder if that's, like, a thing that they did back then. Like, men, you know, since they were kind of higher rank, they got this whole, you know, is it called an epitaph? Yeah.
And also, if you think about it, the time back then, men were more respected and had a higher authority. People are going to care more about the men's career and who they were as people than women are. But bringing that up, maybe we'll get maybe some more backstory on John's mother and might have a play into this story.
I thought it was odd that they didn't say where she was born. I thought that was strange.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Okay, kids, so, news and gossip? No? Okay.
No.
Great. Predictions.
All right. Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Start us off, Jesse.
Well, I predict that there's going to be some conflict between Tituba mm-hmm. and Mary, because in the previews for next week, it showed, you know, them having confrontation also. And I think that the face of that guy, like I already said, is no longer the blacksmith, but Mr. Hook. Mm. Oh, and, you know, I think Mary and Mercy are going to make out.
Oh, well, we saw that in preview, but I don't think it's for the reasons that you think it is. I think it's Mary, that action is going to be Mary's way of trying to control Mercy. And also, I don't think Hook is dead. William guy is dead. He's going to play a bigger role. And I think we're going to see more resistance from Anne. Her character, she's going to grow and going to go more up against Mary.
I think Cotton is about to become, at the same time, both really useful because we have this box, no idea what it means. I think John's going to take it to him, and Cotton's going to know all about this. These are symbols that he studied, whatever. So he's going to be really valuable. But at the same time, he's going to start to totally hate himself because of what he did to Gloriana, so he's going to become useless to himself and those around him. So we're going to see sort of like a spiraling Cotton.
Yeah, a deteriorating Cotton. Because that he's definitely going to feel guilt over what he did, especially for the kind of man that he is. And he's definitely going to feel remorse after that action.
Yeah, totally. All right, ladies, where can we find you?
You can find me at Miss Jessie Owen on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Serafini TV.
You can follow me at Koppel from Mayor, KoppelMayor. You can follow Bobby at Bobby DeMuro. And you can find us here next week at the same time. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.